8. Leto. The demons have been petitioning for borrowing rights again. The log says they waited a whole 3 centuries before trying again. This time they got a minor duke on their side. I know scavengers when I hear them. The unwritten wing holds a delicate balance in hell, neither vassal to nor clearly apart. It's the nature of books that keeps us here. But it's the nature of books that the devils want. They want anything that tastes of mortal mind. An unwritten book is nothing but pure potential, and a soul's potential is power down here. Power, naturally, is all the creatures of hell care about. They'd descend on the shelves like a swarm of locusts if we let them. Librarian Ibuka of Ishe, 786 CE. A sound, more gravel than snore, grated from the sleeping gargoyle as they passed the bookcase. Leto gave it a wide berth as he struggled to keep up with the librarian's long strides. Hell's hallways passed in a blur, and Leto had long ago given up keeping track of the path they were taking. He decided to stick to the basics. Where are we going? The arcane wing. The arcanist, Andrus, is a colleague and old friend. The bag holding the page scrap crinkled between Claire's pinched fingers, as if she was afraid it would escape. She accelerated down a wide flight of stairs and forced Leto to speed up again. Arcanist? He's some kind of wizard? Leto asked. Not quite. He curates the arcane wing. It's part of the library. The unwritten wing is larger and stores the unwritten works, and the arcane wing contains curiosities. Like a museum? Claire shook her head. Libraries traditionally housed a cabinet of curiosities. I suppose that is why the arcane wing exists here as well. It houses arcane artifacts, prophecies, spell books, monkey claws, and soul gems, that kind of nonsense. Things that gain power on Earth become slippery. Slippery and dangerous. They tend to fall through the cracks of reality and end up here, where we can contain them. It's the arcanist's job to do that, and fetch the dangerous stuff. Messy job, one I'm glad I don't have. Books are much more straightforward. So he's your boss? Claire's chuckle was not entirely warm. I'm sure he'd like to think so, since he's been here forever, but no. The unwritten wing and the arcane wing are allied.
Allied?
Leto frowned.
Against what?
The question made Claire slow. Leto had to careen into a pillar to avoid running into her. Claire seemed to consider before giving him a serious answer.
Against everything. As long as there have been places like libraries, places attempting to preserve and curate, there have been forces attempting to acquire. The library makes for a very juicy target for the demons of hell, even though they're supposedly our hosts.
That made no sense.
But they're just books, he blurted before he could worry about insulting the librarian.
Claire didn't seem prone to taking offense. She just chuckled. It was a dry, crackling laugh that made her sound older than she looked.
They may be just books to you, Leto, but these are unwritten books. Pure potential. They're the stuff of something demons don't have. Imagination. That's the stuff of humans. The power to create. Down here, that's a decisive power. There are factions here in hell that would love nothing more than to eat the books whole for a momentary burst of power. If the arcane wing and the library didn't work together to present a united front, the books would have been burned long ago. Yet another thing Leto might have known, should have known, had he been the demon he was supposed to be. Instead, he was a stupid human asking stupid questions. He could even fail at damnation, and now he was in hell, surrounded by shadows containing dangers he didn't even know existed. His arms felt chilled. He wrapped them around his middle. He couldn't remember the source of self-loathing that welled up in his throat, but the bitter taste coated his tongue. They wound their way across a dark foyer. The wide amber floor was dusty and bare and seemed to swallow up the light. Claire halted them before a set of thick bronze doors. The grill work was cast with figures so encrusted with age and grime that Leto couldn't make them out. Claire's hand hesitated above the handle. Andrus is a friend. He won't harm you. But just one rule. Don't touch anything.
Oh, okay.
Andrus won't harm us, but the arcane wing. If the smile Claire gave him was meant to be reassuring, she sucked at it. The arcane wing is different.
Different? Like compared to the unwritten wing, or?
Leto trailed off as Claire shoved the door open. The air was chilled and clotted with dust. The first impression Leto had as he breathed in stale air was of the shadowy neglect of an abandoned museum vault, or perhaps a disreputable pawn shop. A cabinet of curiosities, Claire had said. It was an accurate description of the place. Dozens of dusty little boxes lined black wood shelves, punctuated by puddles of shadowy fabric, twisted figures in discolored ivory. A bowl rimmed with sharp teeth and filled with tiny seeds that sparkled like bloody rubies. Some artifacts were left in open air. Others were inexplicably bound with chains behind glass. All were stacked and piled with no discernible logic. A staccato crackling noise came from the far wall, and the cold iron bars of a tall stack of cages filled with ravens cast menacing lines of shadow across the floor. The arcane wing was smaller than the unwritten wing, and colder. Shadows stretched and reached farther than they should have. There was just enough light to define the shapes of the darkness, not drive it away. Sound pooled and dribbled in murmurs that sounded the way goosebumps felt. It was a palace to shadows and acid ambition. Unfazed, Claire rapped on a scarred countertop with her knuckles.
Andy, you about?
The blackbirds increased in volume as something thudded in the back recesses of the collection.
Is that a pup I hear? No one else is cheeky enough to use that name.
The voice was as rugged and distinguished as the gentleman that followed it. A gentleman with demonic features, sharply pointed ears and eyes, and a natural shade of liquid gold that set Leto on edge. Leto had the fleeting impression of a tiger caged and pacing. He shivered, blinked once. Then the tiger shrank to a house cat. Andrus was not an intimidating figure. He was a hair shorter than Leto, and he wore an old-fashioned evergreen doublet studded with glittering brooches and topped with a black satin sash. His hands were folded politely, burdened with silver rings. His hair was a short ruff of charcoal streaked with lines of gold. He glimmered and gleamed attentively in all the ways his wing glowered and gloomed.
My dear librarian,
a smile sprang into place on Andrus's lips as he swept across the floor to greet them. Andrus touched Claire's cheek and turned it this way and that. His hand looked pale and faded against her teak skin.
You are working too hard, pup. You look thin.
It was the first time Leto had seen anyone touch the prickly librarian. Even brevity seemed to respect Claire's personal space. But the arcanist swept in with familiarity, and to Leto's great surprise, Claire simply shrugged off the hand. A trip upstairs does that.
Of course, dreadful place. I don't know why you don't just send your assistants.
Claire chuckled.
Some of us prefer to do things ourselves.
Of course, I taught you no less. Shame I don't heed my own lessons. Speaking of assistants,
he turned his attention to Leto, and his gaze was sharp enough to bring a trickle of acidic sweat to Leto's neck. Andrus's lip curled in a smile to reveal a pointed tooth as he studied him. Polite, but exacting as a scalpel. Leto felt dissected, and foolish to have ever believed himself to be a demon or any creature related to someone with that kind of keen gaze. Claire nudged Leto forward with a grand wave.
Leto, meet Andrus, Hell's arcanist and former duke of the East Infernal Duchy. Andrus, this is Leto, my assistant, I suppose.
Leto's stomach did a swooping kind of flip at the introduction. It was a startling warmth,
distracting him momentarily from the vague sense of dread that Andrus imparted.
Pleased to meet you, sir. I haven't seen you about before.
Andrus gave Leto a shrewd squint.
What legion are you, son?
Leto stuttered out of reflex, but Claire saved him. He's human, made a demon down here for his penance. She gave a not unkind squeeze where she kept hold of Leto's shoulder. And he's been instrumental in finding something that I believe you might have an interest in.
A human now, fancy that.
Andrus tapped his lip.
I assumed you had business. You were never one for small talk. What can I do for you, my dear?
Claire raised the bag that held the scrap and upended it with care on a nearby table. I ran across something I was hoping you could identify. Andrus brightened and wiped his fingertips on a pocket square before approaching the table. He snapped his fingers, and a globe of light appeared over his head, bobbing softly, and reminding Leto of summer fireflies.
What gift do you have for me today?
Claire made an impatient motion. Do you recognize it? It seemed like something of yours.
It's not an unwritten book. I can certainly verify that. It seems...
Andrus stilled and flicked his gaze, suddenly sharp and suspicious between them.
Where did you get this?
Leto palmed it off an angel that was trying to kill us. He said he was Ramiel, if you're familiar with the tales. An entirely unpleasant man, absent manners, and present one very sharp sword. He seemed under the impression we had something of his.
Ramiel.
Andrus was quiet for a long moment, hands hovering over the scrap.
He's on the hunt for this.
And quite insistent that we knew what the hell he was talking about, Claire frowned. It is from a book? Andrus had returned to staring at the scrap.
Intriguing.
Yes, so intriguing, in fact, I thought I'd visit my dear old friend, because I was under the impression that he would assist more than ask questions, Claire grumbled, as the old demon didn't look up. Well? Andrus, Claire rubbed her brow. I've been bled, nearly skewered, and mostly drowned today. Words, please. The demon shook his head, and a thought moved across his expression. It was a thought with teeth, but then it was gone. Andrus smiled again.
It's a very rare piece.
I gathered as much, considering it tried to blow my circuits when I touched it. Leto let out a startled noise, but Claire waved him off. What is it?
It has the markers of a piece that shouldn't exist.
Andrus's eyes drifted back to the scrap.
The Codex Gigas. Have you heard of it?
Codex Gigas? The giant book?
Apt translation, given the original book's size, but it's also known as the Devil's Bible.
Claire raised her brows. You have my attention. Andrus's fingertips danced away from the bit of paper every time he attempted to touch it, as if it burned.
A curious piece of antiquary history, to hear the humans tell it. Some sordid drama about a medieval monk signing a deal with the devil to create a holy tome in a single night.
What nonsense.
Of course, no proper demon would bother with a trivial deal such as that.
Andrus shrugged.
But there was a book created, and Lucifer claims ownership himself.
Claire frowned. Lucifer? Wrote a book? Impossible. Demons don't create books.
They don't write books.
Andrus held up a finger. His voice took on a teaching tone.
This wasn't a story. It was an artifact, a container. It takes a lot of power to hold a realm like hell as long as Lucifer has. Power burns out a god as much as a mortal. The oldest beings have been known to siphon off bits of themselves over the years, stash bits of themselves here and there, to remain sane, to hedge their bets. The more innocuous the piece, the better.
Andrus made a vague gesture to the curios around them.
Something like that should be here by all rights, but I suppose he didn't trust my predecessors with it. Rather insulting that he thought Earth was safer.
Claire's brow furrowed. That does sound eccentric, even for him.
Highly. I always suspected it wasn't just mere power he was hiding away in that thing. Perhaps a secret, a key, something he didn't trust to keep on himself for some reason. Something to be kept far away from the realm. Tantalizing mystery, isn't it?
You think everything is secrets and conspiracy, Andy.
That's because everything is, pup. And you do know I dislike that nickname.
Claire smiled.
Almost as much as I dislike being called pup.
Quite so,
Andra said, with an odd tilt of fondness.
In any case, this codex, it stayed unnoticed on Earth for centuries. Then, out of the blue, Lucifer called his arcanist and librarian to him, our predecessors, and ordered them to retrieve the book and replace it with a mundane replica.
The old demon's lip curled with a strong distaste. Leto began to see where Claire might have gotten her opinion of the ruler of hell.
Something must have spooked him.
Leto found the whole conversation alarming, and unease finally began to work its way into the nervous tap of Claire's fingers on the counter.
Why wasn't I made aware of any of this? She asked.
Why would you be? It's a perfectly written book, not one of your delicate unwritten things, Andra said. As I understand it, the book was retrieved during some mortal uprising. A fire made a convenient cover. Our agents replaced it with a harmless, mundane copy in the chaos. It disappeared after that. Who knows what our benevolent dictator did with it?
Not everything got recovered, though, Leto said. When Andrus frowned at him as if just remembering his presence, Leto nodded to the table.
Well, yes, there might have been complications, Andrus said. They replaced the book, as it was, but humans say that precisely 10 pages might have gone missing in the fire. We thought it was just the replica that was damaged.
10 pages? Of a book made of hell stuff. Did anyone bother to check the original before handing it over?
Andrus's lips thinned.
The records don't precisely say so.
And you've not pursued it, gone after these pages?
Andrus snorted.
I'm not daft. I proposed the idea decades ago once I ran across the discrepancy. But I was ordered not to. Forbidden. A decree from our great ruler himself, and no further investigation into the book was condoned. Whatever it is, whatever it was, Lucifer didn't trust anyone looking into it.
It didn't make sense. Leto found himself chewing a hole in his lip as he tried to follow.
If it was so important, why would he risk?
Andrus gave an elegant shrug.
The whole affair went down before my inglorious downfall, long before I became Arcanist. I was still a duke then. It was all done rather hush-hush, and the court didn't hear about it until much later. One of your predecessors was the one who retrieved it. If anyone has covered up a failure, it was him.
Out of the corner of his eye, Leto saw Claire flinch. The color drained from her cheeks.
Predecessor.
You mean Librarian Gregor?
No, no, more than a few back. This would have been...
Andrus gave a dismissive wave at the whole idea of time.
The barbarian. Beard. Loud type. Drunk. Stuck around forever. What's his name? I can't keep your people straight.
The tension in Claire's shoulders eased by inches. It was the second time Leto noticed her strange aversion to her predecessor.
Bjorn. Bjorn the Bard. He had the longest tenure, spanning the Middle Ages. 2 before Gregor.
Sounds about right. Your wing's history, in any case, not mine.
Claire and Andrus fell into warring scowls. Little as Leto knew, he had a sinking feeling that worse news was yet to come. It appeared the librarian agreed with him as she shook her head. If it's resurfaced, we can't just leave a thing like that floating around. Andress watched Claire warily.
An order is an order, pup.
At the very least, we can report this latest appearance and reopen the investigation. Blood and ink, Andress. Angels are involved, for goodness sake. This isn't time for politics. Andress shook his head.
It's not wise. Not without more information to justify approaching the court.
Information that we can't get until it's sanctioned, which it's not, Claire said flatly. Information he doesn't want the court to hear in the first place.
That is how hell works.
Claire crossed her arms. There was a distant tick, tick, tick of claws as ravens shifted in their cages. Leto could see a subtle tick in Andress's bearded cheek as he met her stare. Claire swept up the bag, snagging the scrap before Andress could protest. She turned on her heel and strode toward the doors. Andress gaped, first at Claire, then at Leto. Then he broke into a run after her.
Pop! Librarian! Claire, stop this instant!
Come along, Leto, Claire called, not slowing her pace before she raised her voice to a level that sent the ravens chattering and raced a chill down Leto's spine.
Lucifer! Don't be a fool!
Andress was faster than his gray hair indicated he should be, and he bolted after her. Leto had to sprint to keep them in sight as they sped down the hall. If Claire was summoning him, then he wasn't really sure he wanted to catch up.
No, this is ridiculous. I won't tolerate. Belial! Claire, listen. Morningstar, get down here! Claire! Iblis! Lord of... Do you want to start a war?
Andress caught hold of Claire's shoulder at the base of the stairs. He let go just as quickly under Claire's withering glare.
You don't want to do this, pup. We can't tell him this has surfaced in the hands of an angel.
Tension trembled through Claire's jaw and her fingers clenched around the plastic bag.
You have 1 minute to tell me one good reason why, and without using girl or pup, or I'll walk right out of here, Andress. I mean it.
Stop a step away. Andress jerked his hands away from Claire's shoulders and raked a hand through his striped hair.
Consider the facts, Claire. Somehow a book of hell resurfaced after all this time and found its way into heaven's hands. They very likely don't know what they have, but they sent nothing less than Ramiel after it. Thunder of God, a bloody watcher. Fallen or not, unforgiven or not, he's no errand boy. Now think it through. What will happen if you report this to the court?
Claire sniffed. They'll send us after it, obviously, just as they did before. And this time I will do a proper job.
They sent the library after it when it was merely an embarrassing personal secret of Lucifer's, held by humans. You know your history, librarian. What happens when you scare powerful people who have armies? What does the court of hell do when heaven moves against them?
Don't be ridiculous. Color fled Claire's cheeks. This is a book. They wouldn't...
We've gone to war over less. I was there.
Andress said the word there in a way that conjured yawning voids and loss. Leto shuddered. Claire threw up her hands.
That's unnecessary. This is a book. Lucifer knows we could much more effectively.
He might, but the court wouldn't. You know their opinion of the library, run by a mere human and a washed-up demon?
Andress's tone turned brittle and bitter.
We're pawns, squatters on top of desirable treasures. They wouldn't just not trust us. They'd take the opportunity to prove us incompetent, to pillage the library.
Claire paused as if losing her footing. To put the library above the realm.
What about Earth?
What?
Think, Anders snapped.
Even if the greedy lot can pull their tails out of their arses long enough to follow the trail and do the job, where do you think this will be settled?
Andress scrutinized Claire for a response. She stilled, flicking a concerned glance toward Leto. Andrus looked as if he'd scored a point.
Do you see now why reporting this is foolhardy?
Leto saw Claire's chin rise almost imperceptibly, the stubborn steel that he'd begun to recognize as the librarian's will coming to bear.
To the courts, perhaps, but if we approached this as a private matter with him.
The purge.
Claire stopped.
That was an entirely different scenario.
The what? Leto felt his confusion had reached a breaking point.
A tragedy in Hell's history.
Claire scowled at Andrus.
A fool librarian challenged Lucifer for dominion of the library, tried to claim independence and lost. Well, the books were preserved, but the entire library was remade, sealed. It spurred a line of book burnings on Earth. If you've ever heard of the Library of Alexandria, she was born of that time. I suppose he wanted to punish her where it hurt. The muses were in an uproar. It was chaos until the library had a proper librarian again. Tragic, but beside the point, because we are not challenging anyone.
Test it if you wish.
Andrus gave a soft shrug.
But our fool king went to quite a lot of trouble to keep the Codex out of Hell the first time around. It wouldn't be the first time he's eliminated his own people to protect a secret. I'd rather not go through that again.
Claire's fingers worked a silent calculation, twitching around the bag in her grasp.
Suppose we don't seek Lucifer's sanction on it. It's still an arcane object, presumably on Earth, and a danger to humanity as well as the rest of us. That's your responsibility to act.
Andrus's smile eased.
It can't be ignored. You were right about that. I would be happy to chase this artifact and return it to Hell before it can do more damage. But the last time this book was hunted, the library did it together, arcane and unwritten. Why is that? I wonder.
Claire narrowed her eyes.
We have a dispensation when books are lost, yes. But this isn't one of mine, and I'm not a demon. I can't do this unsanctioned. We just returned the only book.
Returned with how much time still on your ghostlight?
Most of a day, but oh. No. You can't be serious.
Leto briefly wondered how the Arcanist had kept such close tabs on today's events, or if it was public knowledge. Claire voiced the larger problem.
We would still need Walter's help to travel.
Andrus tapped his lip.
Walter holds transport to the mortal realms, but where would you start looking for the Devil's Bible, librarian?
I would...
Claire hesitated, as she appeared to give the question the full measure of her attention.
The angel found us in Seattle, but I suspect that's because he was chasing any demonic activity. He seemed surprised to find us. That means his leads ran out. No, the pages might be on Earth, but we would have to start with information on how they went missing. You say Bjorn the Bard was the librarian who retrieved it, but...
Both Claire and Andrus went silent, and Leto lost his patience.
But what?
Bjorn's not a librarian anymore. Not even in Hell. He did his time in the library and his soul found rest. And he was of the old belief, so... Claire raised her eyebrows at Andrus.
If we wanted to talk to Bjorn, we would have to find him... in Valhalla?
In Valhalla.
Ravens?
Claire was curious.
Ravens.
Andrus was certain.
Ravens?
Leto was confused. An unsettling smile, sharp and resigned, tugged at Claire's mouth. I thought you were retired from the game, Arcanist. Andrus chuckled.
I can be induced for a good cause and a lovely face.
Claire ignored the flattery.
And to sate your curiosity about a secret, I imagine.
Well, now, that would just be a bonus for an old man's entertainment, pup.
Claire glanced once at Leto, and he gave her what he hoped was a nod of support.
She sighed. Where do we start?
With the Raven Road, of course, Andras said.
A brief argument ensued, which was settled only when Claire invoked some obscure rule of conduct that Leto had never heard of. Andras threw up his hands and disappeared back into the cluttered shadows of his wing, and Claire resumed her atrociously fast stride up the stairs the way they'd come. Leto found himself winded by the third flight. Librarians were exhausting.
Miss Librarian, what's happening now?
We've drowned together, Leto. You can call me Claire.
What's happening now, Claire?
I believe, Claire gave the gargoyle a pat as they rounded the corner into the familiar maze of halls that led to the unwritten wing. Now I am about to become a very bad role model for you. If you really are a demon, this is the point where you should probably be running off to tattle on us.
Leto reached up to rub the point of one ear.
I don't think I want to tattle after what Andras said.
Me neither, unfortunately, Claire said with a sigh. Leto considered the Arcanist and fought back his unease about being around another demon.
You said he was a duke?
Was. Once.
Claire gave a tight-lipped smile. Before I knew him, he was a high duke in Hell's Court. Very highly respected. Commanded legions and was Lucifer's right hand. Demon of confessions, I think. He was ousted in a political coup more than 100 years ago. Demons love nothing more than their political games. Never stand between a demon and a rise to power.
Isn't that where you said the library is now?
Claire made a face.
Yes, aren't you a fast learner? In any case, Andras survived, but withdrew from the court to lick his wounds. He eventually took over the role of curator for the arcane wing. He's a demon, yes, but retired from the court. He's always been a supporter of the library. He helped me out a good deal when I was a new librarian. He taught me a lot.
A memory, a pain, a regret all flicked over Claire's face, too rapid-fire for Leto to comment on. He stared at his hands. One claw had a hangnail. He worried at it.
But I still don't know what I'm supposed to. I mean, you said we're going to go after this thing?
Claire slowed so suddenly that Leto nearly ran into her back. She cast a glance toward the library entrance, then pulled him to one side.
This isn't like fetching the hero's book, Leto. This is going to get complicated.
I had a feeling.
I'll be doing something which may upset the rest of Hell. The library's always been a bit separate.
I understand.
But you're not part of the library.
Leto's face fell, and Claire closed her eyes briefly.
I mean, you're welcome here, but you don't have to be part of this. It's going to be dangerous. Even if we manage to accomplish what we intend, when we get back, we'll be... You should leave while you can.
Where do I go?
The question sounded more pitiful than Leto had intended, but it was out of his mouth before he could think. Panic began to edge its way up the back of his throat, and he tried to envision what leaving the library meant. His first real memory of this place was of being a demon messenger sent to Claire's desk. Everything before that was darkness, fear, self-loathing, a coil of despairing acid in his throat. He'd rather do anything than that.
You could stay at the library until we return. Plenty to read, Claire offered.
You said demons aren't librarians because we can't handle the nature of the books.
He looked down at his clenched hands.
Leto, you're not a demon. You're...
I was sent to you. And you're the only one who's even tried to tell me the truth. You're the only assignment I have. Until that changes, I'm staying.
Leto tried to sound confident rather than pleading. He chewed on his bottom lip as he saw Claire's normally brittle brown eyes soften. Sympathy, pity. It wasn't what he wanted. He didn't want to be protected, to shield himself from hurtful truths. Not again. It felt the opposite of being human. He wanted...
I want to help. please.
Claire swept her gaze over Leto once before nodding slightly.
Okay, all right.
I did say you were a fast learner. She started down the corridor again.
Next lesson. Move quickly.
9. Ramiel. When you consider all the realms of the afterlife, there are aberrations. To a librarian, heaven is a large aberration. It seems curious that one of the grandest, most belief-fueled realms of paradise does not possess a library of its own. In the minds of its believers, heaven must be perfect, absent nothing, regretting nothing, wanting nothing. It makes sense then that heaven has no wing of our library. What is a story without want, without desire, without need? Librarian Gregor Henry, 1896 CE.
This is quite obviously unacceptable.
Ramiel had frankly expected more of an outburst from Uriel. He'd delivered his report of the encounter on Earth, standing stock straight in the center of the Archangel's office, bracing for the anger he knew was coming. But Uriel had merely listened, giving him the full measure of her ageless, infinite attention until he fell silent. In some ways, that was much worse.
You not only allowed our best leads to escape, but you lost our only evidence and means to pursue.
Uriel toyed with a small compass in her hands without looking at it, her stern gaze reserved for Rami. The sharp edges of the navigator's tool flickered and slid between her fingers like a blade.
We still have leads.
What leads?
Uriel interrupted, voice level but knuckles white as the compass stilled.
Do tell me, Watcher, how we can locate these librarians when they possess the artifact.
There were no ways, not in the magics Rami understood. He held his tongue.
What's more, the fact that you were bested by a dead woman and a what? A demonic servant who could mug you like taking candy from a cherub?
Uriel shook her head. It's a stain on heaven.
Was it sympathy? Your fondness for humans from your time as Shep- Souls!
Uriel's glare could melt galaxies, but Rami swallowed and pushed forward.
Hell's librarian is a human soul.
When Watchers had served heaven, Ramiel had been the thunder of God and the shepherd, sent to lost souls to shepherd them to the afterlife. No soul stayed lost under Rami's care. The conclusion lit Uriel's eyes with a strange, sharp glimmer.
You can track her?
Not while she's in hell or another realm, Rami admitted.
The lost status of a soul was critical.
But if she strays to Earth again or travels the roads between, I should be able to narrow our options. Without a divine mandate, however, it will take some time.
A smile curdled Uriel's expression. A strange and unnatural look. Rami had thought winning Uriel's approval would be satisfying, but instead it felt startling, like a show of claws.
Make your preparations. The fact remains that we must move forward quickly to catch up. We know Hell's library has it, may in fact have the whole thing.
I'm not giving the victory to the betrayer that easily, Uriel said. In the meantime, we'll start with the other realms she'd be likely to rabbit to. The major ones, Duat, Janna, Valhalla, Indralak. We have passage agreements with most realms of paradise. If we're very fast and very blessed, we'll catch the scent. Rami abruptly felt less an angel and more a hunting dog. But one look at Uriel's hungry smile and he held his tongue.
And if we catch up with the librarian?
Ascertain whether she has the rest of the codex. Follow and impede if she does not. Hell cannot be allowed to acquire this book, and if she has it already... Again, Uriel twirled the silver compass in her palm. She abruptly flipped her grip and drove the point into the desk.
She serves Hell. She is already damned.
If the librarian seeks salvation, then heaven's justice will purify her. 10. Claire.
Of course there are other libraries. The Unwritten is just one wing, though one of the largest. There are wings of poetry, wings of songs, wings of dying words and visions. The libraries maintain a prickly kind of alliance separated by realms. If one library falls, it could signal the end for them all. The library stands together.
The only exception to note is the Dust Wing, which houses all the works created and lost to time.
But the less said about that dark hall, the better.
Librarian Bjorn the Bard, 1630 CE. It is our duty to maintain a cordial yet professional relationship with the other libraries, if only for the sake of the interworld loan. But one library wing is not like another. Do not trust librarians serving other tales. Apprentice librarian Yoon Ji Han, 1791 CE. Sometimes when Claire allowed herself a moment to reflect on the absurdity of her fate, she wished she could find the soul of old Father Roderick. It was one of the few memories she'd kept. He'd presided over her family's parish and instilled in her, at the wicked age of 8, the deep fear of damnation of her immortal soul. She drifted away from it, as many children did, and grew up into a comfortable agnostic, or as much as was proper for the time. But now, literally residing in hell, she wished to revisit those old conversations with Father Roderick. Father Roderick, who taught her the necessity of good Catholic guilt. In the end, guilt and self-recrimination were the worst sins for a soul. What would the good father think to see her? Her current position in hell was entirely due to her own soul's self-imposed judgment. She dealt daily with condemned souls and demons because her own soul didn't believe she deserved better. And perhaps the most scandalous thing she could tell Father Roderick was, frankly, how comfortable it was. She had regrets, deep regrets, yes, about how she'd lived her life, the time she'd wasted. They were why she'd ended up in the library. But the afterlife she'd built up was more than acceptable. The start had been rough, and there were the mistakes she made, hauntings she still pretended not to have. She was not completely insulated from hell here in the library. But there was work to do, a purpose to her fate, and she owed something to those in her afterlife. She owed something to the library, its books, brevity. Now there were Leto and the damaged book to consider. Claire found herself well suited for damnation. Sorry, Father Roderick. By the time Claire and Leto returned, brevity had put the hero to work trundling carts of books up from the recesses of the library. The muse tolerated his sulky muttering with more aplomb than Claire would have, patting his slumped shoulder as she sent him off with another cart.
Truthfully, those books weren't even due to be inventoried yet,
brevity admitted as he disappeared into the stacks again.
But it keeps him busy. How was Andrus?
Well informed, patronizing, per usual. Claire began to tick through her head as she calculated where to begin with the disasters on the library's plate. How's the hero doing?
He's wearing a pout that could curdle milk, but otherwise he's bucked up. He just wants to be called Hero, like for a name.
Brevity poured a new cup of tea for herself.
That's quite the literal affectation.
That's what I told him in less fancy words.
Brevity lowered her voice as the cart emerged from a back aisle.
He sure seemed set on it. Said he thought it had a certain je ne sais quoi. And that's when I put him on inventory.
Claire nodded and waved Leto over. No use putting this off. Well done, but inventory needs to wait. We have new business. I am going to pull some supplies. Brev, I need you to take Leto here and prepare to shut down the wing. The muse nearly choked on her tea.
What?
Claire began dumping the less necessary and somewhat soggy books out of her leather bag, and filling it quickly with an assortment of tools from her desk. The entire wing, all books on lockdown, nothing leaves. Jot a note to inform the muses. Earth is just going to have to deal with writer's block until we get back.
But that's... if we...
Brevity made a strangled noise in her throat.
Begging your pardon, boss, but you give an order like that? I need a story.
Claire frowned as she ordered her pens in the bag's side pocket. Brevity was a muse, a former ex-muse, certainly. But it was the muses that would feel the blowback most keenly if the sources of all unwritten stories was suddenly shut off. It was a tricky relationship between the library of unwritten works and the muses that were tasked to inspire them. If the muses had their way, the library would be empty. But that wasn't the way creation worked. Sometimes inspiration was not enough. They would not take a closing well. Get Hero up here, then. I've got no time to say this more than once. Once Claire had briefed the others on the existence of the Codex Gigas, the danger of the remaining pages, and Andras's plan to seek Bjorn in Valhalla, she took a long draw of her tea, carefully watching Brevity's and Hero's reactions. Brevity's mouth had made a silent, oh, before she schooled her face. Her eyes took on the same intense glint she got when wrestling with a particularly stubborn acquisition. The newly dubbed Hero, on the other hand, had snorted at every opportunity throughout the tale, lips curling to express more disgust than concern by the end of it. Why again are you herring off after a myth rather than leaving it to your betters? Because there's a chance that my betters would either start a war or make it so that the library, and all the books inside, mind you, never existed rather than admit the thing still exists in the wild. Claire took a peevish sip of tea. I have no patience for politics. Whatever game went on with this codex before, we have a job to do.
We, Hero repeated flatly, but Brevity brightened.
That means you'll be needing me, right?
I always need you, Brev. Claire's determination softened into a smile. If that's settled, every minute counts. Take Leto and get moving. Hero, you're with me. Hero sulked silently after Claire through the warren of the library storage rooms. Claire measured him in brief glances between checking and locking doors. His color was better, his walk steady and smooth. For a thing that had just been cut out of his own entity like an amputated limb, Hero was doing remarkably well. Especially for a hero. In Claire's experience, heroes of unwritten stories were often the most fragile. All that destiny and tragic backstory. It made it easier to force them into their books, but it left a sour taste in her mouth. Entirely useless. Nothing folded like a hero without a story. Even damsels were sturdier. Hero grimaced as she turned a corner deep in the library, selecting a book here and there.
Here I was thinking I'd be spending my near future developing a nice, boring dust allergy.
Back up. There will be plenty of dust where we're going, Claire said.
Tell me, what kind of hero were you? More of a lover than a fighter?
Decidedly a fighter. Hero preened his nails. Never had much use for love in my story.
With cheekbones like that, I'm shocked. Claire paused at the end of one of the aisles, eyeing the ornate suit of armor that decorated the end cap. Master craftsmen had unfinished works of art too, and the library had a larger armory than one would expect. They were mostly elaborate work meant for noble showpieces, but still well made.
Swords?
Rapier, preferably. I'm not a barbarian, but a well-balanced basket-hilted broadsword is comfortable enough.
Hero watched with obvious skepticism as Claire rapped on the suit's knuckles. The suit loosened its grip on its weapon, and she grabbed the pommel of the ornate sword. Claire gave it a cursory inspection. It was sharp and covered in excessive filigree. Just like Hero, really. But that was as far as her weapon discernment went. She tossed it underhand to Hero. He caught it, gave it a careful heft, and sighted down the end of the blade. Claire took the moment to take silent stock of him. He certainly had the air of a hero, capable, with confidence that irritated like a hangnail. Still, Claire was more used to shelving characters than trusting them. Hero cast an unreadable glance at her.
Adequate.
Excellent. Claire waited until he'd stripped the blade's sheath from the suit of armor and secured the weapon across his back. She started down the aisle again. We need to get straight on a few things before we leave.
Is this where we swear to be true and loyal in the face of certain death? Your short acquaintance has already branded me.
Hero held up the wrist that had been stamped.
Which is the only reason I'm bringing you along, Claire said.
That and a swashbuckling hero could not hurt their odds if that angel showed up again. Her little group needed him. That was an unfortunate fact he didn't need to know.
Not worried I'll slip the leash again?
Oh, I'm sure you would try. I just trust my leash more. Claire allowed him to catch up as they turned a corner.
I have no doubt you'll do as I say, when I say, but I need you to swear to something outside of that.
Hero sniffed.
No thanks. I've reached my inconvenient oath quota for the year.
I will make it worth your time.
I doubt that.
Claire stopped. They could hear Brevity's high, clear voice chattering at the far end of the aisle as books thumped around.
Inspiration.
Hero narrowed his eyes.
What do you mean?
You wanted your author to write her books. I happen to be on excellent working terms with the Muses.
It seems to me that the library's relationship with the Muses is more adversarial than collaborative.
Nonsense.
Claire waved her hand to cover the fact that his perception was entirely accurate.
We all care about the well-being of authors and books. Serve admirably on this trip. Maybe I will suggest more focused efforts for young Miss McGowan.
There was a gleam in Hero's eyes that had not been present before.
What admirable service do you have in mind?
Protect them, Claire said. Too quickly, too urgently.
That was a misplay when dealing with a hero who seemed as contrary as a tomcat. She picked her next words carefully.
You're duty bound to do as I say, but I cannot foresee how this ill-advised errand will go. If I am not there to command you, Hero, I want your oath that you'll not abandon Brevity and Leto. Or Andrus, I suppose, though he can take care of himself. See they return safely to the library, to the best of your ability.
The gazes of both fell to the suit of armor capping the aisle. The hero leaned against it, draping one arm over the knight's shoulder as he eyed the librarian.
Why?
Why? Because I offered to inspire your auth.
No, I mean, why do your assistant and your puppy-eyed hanger-on deserve my protection?
Claire chewed on the inside of her cheek. Truth was a gamble, but then all of this was. Claire hated gambles.
Because I'm not the monster you think I am. And I fervently hope, somewhere under that ridiculous coat, you're not the childish brat I think you are. Brev is going to be librarian one day. A muse. First of her kind to run a wing of the library, and she will deserve every bit of it. She's clever, quick, and has more heart than I do. Maybe she'll even be able to offer the unwritten that better life you seem to be obsessed with.
And the demon?
Leto.
Claire emphasized the name.
Leto is human, and maybe more than meets the eye.
A demonic book is on the loose, the world in peril, and you ask me to guard children.
Hero shook his head.
What priorities? I would have thought you would make me swear on my life to retrieve the codex pages without you.
Claire's lips twitched.
I hadn't thought of that.
Can I get you to do both?
Hero's snort was a decided answer.
I'll stick with protecting Brev and Leto, then.
She took off toward the end of the aisle.
If you aren't interested in my offer, of course, I could just lock you in with the damsels.
Damsels? What are—
Hero had to untangle himself from the armor before sprinting to keep up.
Slow down, damnable woman!
What, you thought you were the only book to ever wake up?
Claire stopped in front of a frosted glass door. She knocked once, then ducked in.
You're not even the prettiest.
She shut the door after Hero followed, stopping short just inside the threshold with a confused grunt. She couldn't blame him. The room was a marked difference from the long book-lined canyons of the library.
It was a cozy sitting room. Shelves cluttered the walls and overstuffed chairs dotted the corners, occupied by a cluster of animated figures, mostly women. One pored over a microscope at a far table, sleeves of a thick Victorian dress rolled up and stained with ink. A wartime housewife on the couch balanced a magazine on her knees as she showed off pages to a young boy. Near the fire, a fair-haired princess snuggled contentedly with a pigtailed girl in overalls. A captivating alien of no particular gender played a complex vertical version of chess in one corner. Their entrance had gotten the room's attention, and a dozen pairs of eyes roved curiously over Hero before Claire shooed them off. She'd never allowed herself to learn their names. Brevity had always been better at such things. But they all knew her.
What kind of prison is this?
Hero had to drop his voice under the censuring gaze of the pair of ladies nearest them.
No prison. A sanctuary, perhaps, Claire said.
Most books wake up as heroes like you, sending out their most empowered, admirable characters into the world, puffed up peacocks set on making messes and throwing tantrums to get their way. We send them back to their own stories straight away.
Hero opened his mouth to protest, but Claire waved him off.
And why not? Not that it's my concern, but they're perfectly happy as masters of their own domain in their stories. But sometimes it's not the hero.
You called them damsels.
Stupid name,
said the girl in pigtails sitting to their right. She met their looks with a wrinkled nose.
We ain't even all girls.
It's just a category, Claire said. Sometimes a book wakes up as a character that has reason to be dissatisfied with their story. No agency, flatly written, just another reward for the hero.
Heteronormative bullshit,
the girl added. It would not be proper to be amused right now.
As she says, Claire agreed.
They have no interest in living it out. They're happy their story has gone unwritten. We call them damsels because most of the time they're women. Wonder why that is.
Hero ignored the look cast at him on behalf of his gender. Claire continued.
If their authors are dead and gone, it seems unnecessary to send them back, and simpler to let them stay, as long as they remain in the library and entertain themselves, learn things, make up their own minds. Some even find families. So the damsel suite was established.
She turned to Hero with a speculative look. Though I'm sure they might let a pretty hero like you join if you would rather stay behind.
Hero eyed the gathered damsels, color overtaking his cheeks as he made eye contact with a rogue with a wicked smile. Beside him there was a slender, pale-haired princess who flashed a charming smile and hesitantly waggled her fingers. The combined attention appeared to be too much. Hero looked down and surprised her with a flustered noise.
You wouldn't.
Try me.
Claire leaned against the doorknob, indulging in a good, modest gloat. Hero's cheeks were still pink, and she didn't miss the small, interested glances he gave femme and masculine damsels in equal measure.
Frankly, I'd be impressed if you survived 5 minutes in here. I didn't figure you for the shy sort, Hero. It is almost endearing.
Whatever.
Hero stiffened as a damsel nearby got up and reached past him for a book on a shelf. She winked, which appeared to unnerve him more. He skittered back a step, rubbing a delightfully pink cheek.
Fine, take me with you. I'll agree to your little promise.
Glad to hear it.
Claire paused to exchange a few words with the damsels. She didn't bother with the details, but sketched a vague reason for the library's temporary shuttering. She guided Hero out the door, closed it with a click, and took off again. It was a close call last time. Heaven's not catching us defenseless again. After they returned to the front desk, Claire and Brevity left the boys to finish packing. Librarian and Muse disappeared into the stacks for several long minutes to conduct the arcane parts of shutting down the unwritten wing. Gradually, the library took on a different tenor. The light spilling from shaded lamps drifted to a cooler tone, fading from amber to blue,
before dimming entirely. The shadows deepened. The deer that had frolicked in a nearby pastoral painting cast nervous glances outside the frame and disappeared into the oil-painted woods. The air became hushed and heavy. Claire's last act of business was to pat the gargoyle as they slipped out into the corridor. "Hold down the fort, friend," she murmured. She half turned to look back, but abruptly thought better of indulging the guilt that twisted in her stomach. She squared her shoulders and led the party toward the stairs at the far end of the hall. "Hopefully Andrus is ready to go."